Today's Gospel, we are coming to the conclusion of the sixth chapter of John, which is the famous chapter detailing really what it is that we believe in the Eucharist, namely that the Lord Jesus gave us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink in the Eucharistic celebration as the means for us to share in his life, to be in communion with him, and to have the assistance to successfully complete our passage to sharing in the divine life fully in heaven and already here on earth insofar as we share in this one Eucharistic banquet. The conclusion of the sixth chapter of John, we see different groups responding to this challenging teaching of Jesus, which really was shocking to their ears, as it is perhaps even surprising to some today. And I'd like to go through those three different responders because they truly, down through the centuries of Christianity, have always been the three responses to the teaching of Jesus on the Eucharist. The first group that we can identify from today's gospel are those who say, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" And we're told that many of them at that time who were following Jesus chose to return to their former ways of life and leave him behind. It was simply too astonishing for them to believe in the church's teaching, on Jesus' teaching on the Eucharist. But what's very striking about it and interesting is Jesus does not modify his teaching in any way. He doesn't say, "Oh no, you guys misunderstood me. I was just talking about my body and blood as a symbol." He doesn't do anything to try to pander to the fact that he's losing a number of followers. And that for us is a reminder that our belief in Catholicism, our belief in Christianity, is not a numbers game of any kind, but it is precisely being faithful to the truth which has been handed on to us by the Lord Jesus himself. Because today's gospel shows Jesus himself wasn't interested in a numbers game to try to see what he could do to get the maximum number of followers. His mission was to reveal the truth of who God is and to successfully bring us to redemption. The second group of responders are highlighted by Peter. And Peter, seemingly in his response, is acknowledging that yes, this teaching that Jesus is giving is surprising, but ultimately he recognizes, if I believe Jesus is truly the Holy One of God, if I believe he is the Messiah, the Son of God, then I have to be willing to accept all that he teaches. And if I leave him, he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life." Belief in the Eucharist is ultimately belief in the one who revealed it to us. And Peter understands that, and his faithfulness to Christ is what opens him to also believe in all that Christ has revealed. And for us down to this day, that is also going to be the case. Our belief in the Eucharist is inherently connected to our belief that Jesus is the Son of God and that what he has revealed to us is true. And so while it is a supernatural belief that the bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ, we accept it in faith because of the one revealing it to us who is God himself, who is truth himself. The third group of responders are actually ones which are hidden in today's gospel. In fact, today's gospel, as I mentioned, is the conclusion of the sixth chapter of John, save for two verses. The last two verses say, "One of you is a devil who is about to betray me," and it highlights that Judas is the one who's going to betray. In other words, John is highlighting to us, Judas didn't believe in the Eucharist. And this was part of the moment where he begins his decision to drift away from the Lord. But the problem with the group that Judas represents, this hidden group, is they don't have the honesty or integrity to say, "We don't believe and we're going to walk away like the first group." But Judas hangs around and he keeps on pretending. He stays, but he hasn't accepted Jesus as the Lord, as the Son of God, and he hasn't accepted all that he teaches. And this for us, I think, is a reminder in particular to pray in a special way for priests. You see, for we priests who celebrate the sacred mysteries, our whole life ought to be centered on the Eucharist and the Mass. And that means our whole life is anchored on the fact that we believe Jesus is the Son of God and that what he revealed happens at the Mass truly does. And if that belief is lost, if the priest is merely a functionary going through the motions and celebrating mysteries that he no longer believes in, then it puts him in a very compromised and contradictory spot where he's living something that he really doesn't believe. And as we saw with the treachery of Judas, when a priest is in that position, it too can become something very dangerous for himself and even for others. So today, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward, let us ask God for the grace that we would always identify ourselves with that group of responders highlighted by Peter. Say, Lord, we believe in your body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist because you are the Son of God. You are the one who revealed it to us. And let us pray that all those who celebrate the sacred mysteries of the Mass and have that great privilege to celebrate the Mass would always be fully convicted in their faith and heart that it truly is the one Lord Jesus who comes present to us to become the bread of life as our spiritual food to help us on our journey toward his resurrection and eternal life. Amen.